So Philippians chapter 2. And our focus this morning is going to be on verse 5, but I'm going to read from 5 to 8. Paul says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Let's pray for ourselves and take a moment to pray for me as well. Father, your word gives us what we need to live a godly life, to please you in all things. And we pray that this morning, as we spend time reflecting on the words of Paul and your word, Lord, that we would take these to heart, that we would be able to so live our lives that we would clearly glorify you and please you in all that we say and do. Lord, take these words, I pray, and apply them to each person here and to us as a community. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So there are three main themes that Paul has written about in this letter to the Philippians. I just want to remind everybody again of those three themes. Okay, he's writing from prison. And the first theme is he wants that the Philippians, that the church be a loving community. That's why he says, "I'm praying that your love will grow more and more for each other. I want you to learn how to love each other, how to work with each other, how to serve one another." That's what I want you to be focused on, Philippians. Build a strong Christian community. Build your relationships with each other. Make sure that they are loving relationships. Number two, he says, "I really want you to be committed to the progress of the gospel." All right, the good news of Jesus. Make sure that this news is getting out there through your lives, through your ministry. You are called to the progress of the gospel. God has given you this message of great hope for humanity. Get it out. Get it out. And thirdly, he wants us to live lives that are close to Jesus, that we love him, that we trust him, that we're growing in our knowledge of him, that we are committed to Jesus, that we are becoming more and more like Jesus. Those are really the three themes that you find interwoven in the letter of the Philippians. That's what I want you to be focused on. Now, in verse 5, in some ways, verse 5 really ties all of this together. If you want a strong community, then your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. If you want to see somebody who got the gospel out, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. If you want to be like Christ Jesus and grow in him, then you need to spend time thinking about Jesus, his attitudes. So this is a key passage in helping us to understand what Jesus would want of us. So a disciple of Jesus, okay, I'm just going to start there. A disciple of Jesus is someone who imitates Christ or models their life after Jesus because he is the supreme model. So Paul has there's a number of things that he would like the Philippians to do, and he realizes, but they need an example, they need a model. And who is the supreme model? It's going to be Jesus. So that's what a disciple of Jesus is concerned about. He's concerned that if Jesus has shown him what to do, that he models that in his own life. And a person who disciples others is someone who helps other Christians become more like Jesus. And they do so by modeling Christ's life to them. Remember, Paul said this, imitate me as I imitate Christ, right? So let's spend some time this morning thinking about, reflecting on this theme of imitation. Imitation. We are called to have the attitudes of Christ. We are called to have the mind of Christ. Now, a number of years ago, we had a block party when we were at 19th Avenue, and we had invited Quinn Beasley to come out and perform some of his circus tricks, and one of his performance acts involved juggling these sharp machetes, and another one involved using fire. I can't remember if it was just swallowing it or blowing it or whatever it was. But before he started, there were a lot of kids that had gathered around, and before he started doing that, he said, listen, do not try to imitate me, okay? Because what I'm doing is dangerous, and it's difficult. I may make it look like it's easy, but it's not. It's tough. So don't do it. And I'm sure that every parent who was there was very thankful to hear those words. I have to say, you know, as a parent, I remember when Nathan was a little boy. I mean, he was the master imitator of everything. I mean, when he watched Lord of the Rings, he began to imitate Gollum. Actually, put it on YouTube. He watched Mr. Bean, and he would walk around like Mr. Bean and talk like Mr. Bean. And I remember once we were watching a Disney movie. It was called Spirit. It's about a horse. Well, after he finished watching the movie, there he was galloping in our house on all fours. And I remember also when he watched the movie Spider-Man, and I saw him after the movie going upstairs. I went up there, I closed all the windows, I said, this kid's nuts, he's going to jump out. So imitation was something that just came very naturally. If I see something, it's meant that, means that I should do it. That's how it works. So what about the life of Jesus? When we hear him or watch him, is his life something that we're supposed to imitate? Or should we be hearing Jesus say, hey, this is too difficult, okay? This is dangerous. Don't do as I do. Well, let me read a number of verses from the New Testament that Jesus said to his disciples. John 13:12-15, he says, you call me teacher and Lord, this is well said, for I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done for you. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Ephesians 5:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Here's another one, 1 Peter 2:21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. 1 John 2:6, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And then we have our verse here in Philippians 2:5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Or in some of your versions, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. So when Paul is thinking about what a disciple is, well, he certainly believes that one part of what it means to be a disciple is that a disciple of Jesus is someone who imitates Christ. They are committed to becoming like Christ in and through the power of the Spirit. So in other words, it's as if Jesus were saying to us, look, pay attention to my life. Watch what I do. Watch how I do it. Pay attention to my attitudes. And then practice these things in your life as well. A disciple of Jesus is somebody who imitates Jesus. Some of you may have seen that bumper sticker, I'm not perfect, I'm just forgiven, right? But I have to say, there's so much more to the life of a disciple and to the life of a believer than that. Maybe it's a place to start, but how about forgiven and now becoming more like Jesus in every area of my life? So, let's just keep this in mind. Discipleship involves imitating the life of Jesus. It's working out what I see in him, working that out in my own life. What if we were to stop and just pause there and ask some questions of ourselves? Are we becoming more like Jesus? Every year, are we becoming more and more like Jesus? Are we manifesting the life of Jesus in our own lives? Again, discipleship is not just about believing certain doctrines or a creed. It's about manifesting the life of Jesus to others so that when they see us, they get a glimpse of who Jesus is. We're able to say, look, I think what you may like about our community, what you may like about us, whether you know it or not, is that this is who Jesus is, and we are living his life here together. So that is our calling, that we are to consider the attitudes of Jesus and the actions of Jesus and seeking to apply those to our own life. Sounds simple enough? I was kind of surprised to find out that the emphasis on imitating Jesus, especially amongst evangelicals, is not a prominent theme. And so just looking back to find out why that might be, let me give you a few reasons why some evangelicals are concerned about this doctrine of imitating Christ. About a century ago, it started really that liberals, and if you want to know what liberals are, people who don't believe that Jesus is God, who don't believe that the scriptures are really the word of God. They have a very liberal view of who God is and the scriptures and the church. And many of them who had denied the Trinity and all the rest, they still said that they admired Jesus. And so what they would say is, we believe that what it means to be a Christian is to imitate the life of Jesus. But all this doctrine about him being divine and he, you know, the Trinity and him being sinless, no, we don't go with that. And so, of course, the evangelicals who were trying to address the liberal movement, they became very suspicious. The minute they heard somebody preaching on imitating Christ, they thought, they probably don't believe that Jesus is God. All right, so what would happen is they would hear about imitating Jesus and they would say, okay, let's get to what's really important, okay? Jesus is God, he is sinless, he died, he was raised from the dead, and so on and so forth. So there was this suspicion, and that's why the emphasis on imitating Christ kind of really disappeared from the pulpits. And I would say that, you know, we mustn't separate the two or confuse the order of the two. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that in the Trinity, and I believe that he was sinless, and yet I also believe that we are called to imitate Jesus. I'll say a little more about that. Some evangelicals are also concerned that by emphasizing and telling people to imitate Jesus, that it produces a kind of a works mentality, all right? As I said, the liberals, they taught that, hey, it's not impossible to imitate Christ. Imitation is certainly within the realm of human possibility. After all, Jesus was a human himself. And that worried many of the evangelicals who feared that what people were thinking is, okay, so the way for me to actually please God and be saved is I have to imitate Jesus. And again, I would concur with those that have a concern and say, listen, it's not what we do for Jesus that will save us. It's what he has done for us. We always start and stop with the work of Christ for us. That is what saves us. But then after that, once we are the people of God, we so admire and love Jesus that we want to become more and more like him in our own life. Another concern was that people end up thinking about Jesus primarily as one who is outside of them. He's like an example. That's how they think of Jesus, as somebody out there. And that people neglect to teach the very important doctrine that Christ is actually living in us. And again, I concur that what is called the union with Christ or being united with Christ comes before teaching about imitation of Christ. God is at work within us to will and to do. So imitation of Christ flows from this life of Christ in us. And again, I think that is very important. But it's not an either or, I would say. Another concern that evangelicals have about imitation of Christ's doctrine is that that some people may think that they are to imitate everything that Jesus did. You've heard about this in the Philippines, right? That there are individuals who practice crucifixion, like they go and get crucified, literally. Other people think that because Jesus walked in sandals and dressed that way, well, so should we. That we have to fast 40 days as Jesus did, that we have to go out to a desert to encounter Satan. And what happens if you're at the altar and you're getting married and you say to himself, okay, what would Jesus do right now? Oh, he was single, so maybe I should be single. Should we go to the tombs and raise the dead? And again, a legitimate concern. I mean, we are not God. Not everything that Jesus did is to be imitated by us. It was partly unique to who he was. And then another concern is the trivialization, all right, of applying this idea of imitating Christ. Would Jesus buy a Mercedes-Benz? Would he drive one? Look what he rode. Would Jesus drink coffee? How many cups a day would he drink it? Would he put sugar in his coffee? Would he join a soccer team? You can just think of all these examples and it just trivializes what it means to imitate Jesus, right? And we have to say, Jesus' example is not sufficient to address all the questions that we may have of how he might go about doing particular things. But those questions can become so trivial that it really, it's like, what's the point? So obviously, there has to be more than just his example to guide us. We are guided by his word and guided by his spirit, not just his example. So we have to be very careful about this superficial understanding of what it means to imitate Christ. And we certainly don't encourage or condone people to imitate everything that Christ did. But here's some of my concerns. On the other hand, I would say that some people may think that Jesus really has nothing to teach us, because after all, he lived 2,000 years ago in ancient Israel when the Romans, ruled the earth. And we might think, he didn't have to face what I face. And so certainly if, you know, if we think, look, I don't need to go to Jesus to find out how to live my life because, you know, it's just, he's an ancient. And yet we find over and over and over in Scripture that we are told to look at the example of Jesus and to practice what he practiced. Now notice, let me say this, that, you know, Jesus was born into a family. He had to learn how to deal with his parents. As he was growing up, he's an example to us as well. He taught us how to lead. He taught us how to suffer. He taught us how to speak to people. He taught us, you know, what to do when we are being persecuted. I mean, the life of Jesus gives us many, many examples and gives us plenty of food for thought in terms of how we are to apply it, how to love other people, how to care for them, how to deal with injustice, how to handle death. All of these things, we can go back to Christ. It's not irrelevant. It's not out of date. But here's another concern that I have with this with the teaching of the imitation, that I think, again, I totally believe in it, but I think we need to be aware of the challenges. I think as Christians, very often we like to pick and choose what we are going to imitate about Christ, and often we kind of reduce imitating Jesus to just a few areas. We imitate certain things about his personality, perhaps, or imitate certain deeds that he does, and leave out the rest. For example, some people, they're always talking about imitating Jesus, and it's always that we should imitate Jesus' prayer life. All right? He's a man of prayer. And that's what they talk about. Then there are other people who show and say, Jesus was a man of the word. And we say, he certainly was that. Other people will point out, Jesus was a man of action. Look at how he went about doing good and concerned about issues of justice and how he cared for the poor. Others will say, yeah, but Jesus was a soul winner, and so should we be. Jesus was opposed to sin, and he spoke out against it. Yes, but look, Jesus loved sinners. And so I could go on and on, just showing that there's a number of different areas that different individuals can apply. And we like to focus on those particular areas and leave out all the others. The truth is that Jesus was an example in every area of life, in the spiritual life. I mean, how he was a man of prayer and of the word and of preaching and of compassion and of soul winning and relationship building and leadership. I mean, Jesus did it all. And he was a missionary as well. And he excelled in all of these areas. So I think it would be important for us, really, if we're going to apply what this, you know, the idea of imitating Christ, that we not think of it simply in areas that we find easy, but rather that we accept this as a challenge into our own life, because the Philippians, they were not focused on Christ's example. They may have been imitating other areas of Jesus' life, but they left out the mind of Christ in a particular area. So again, for them, what would it look like in practice? Well, Paul would say, let the mind of Christ be in you means put the interests of others before your own. Okay, they weren't thinking about imitating Christ in that regard. Just think of the incarnation when Christ became a man. Be willing to be demoted if by it you can do greater good to others. Right? You could look at the life of Jesus and say that. Practice humility. Practice generosity. He who was rich became poor for our sakes, that we might make others rich. Be willing to let go of the comforts of life to reach others. Did Jesus not do that? Lay down your life for the sake of others. Be willing to suffer for the sake of obedience. Expect to be misunderstood. Forgive others. Now, all of these can be seen in the incarnation. All of this. Jesus did it all. There was a bestseller, it's a Christian classic that was written many years ago called In His Steps by Charles Sheldon. And it tells the story of Pastor Maxwell from the First Church. And his church was growing, but he had this concern. He was convicted that his people were not really manifesting the life of Christ. And then he put forth this challenge to them. I want volunteers who will pledge themselves earnestly and honestly for an entire year, not to do anything without first asking the question, what would Jesus do? And after asking that question, each one will follow Jesus as exactly as he knows how, no matter what the result may be. Our aim will be to act just as he would if he was in our place, regardless of immediate results. In other words, we propose to follow Jesus' steps as closely and as literally as we believe he taught his disciples to do. And those who desire to do this will pledge themselves for an entire year, beginning with today. Our motto will be, what would Jesus do? Now, of course, as I read this, keep in mind all of the, you know, the other concerns that I mentioned to make sure that we understand what imitating Jesus involves. But this is a way of taking discipleship seriously. If I'm a disciple of Jesus, and I'm really making it a priority to imitate, just think about it. I mean, would I tell people off? You know? Will I call in sick when I'm not? Will I cheat others? These are challenging questions when we think seriously about what Jesus would do. And what I also like about the challenge in this particular book is that there was an encouragement. Find other people that will make this a priority in their life of imitating Jesus so that all of you can help one another in aiming to become more and more like Christ. Imitate Jesus Christ. I think I've shared this with some of you. Let me repeat it. Every time I think about this challenge to imitate Jesus, I'm reminded of when I was a teenager. There was somebody in my circle that I had always hoped that I could become him. And he had long hair. I ended up with long hair. He was a drug addict. I became one too. He skipped school. I skipped school. He spoke a certain way. I spoke a certain way. He was quiet for most of the time. I became quite quiet as well. I was so good at imitating him. I didn't have the language back then, but what I was doing is I was trying to be his disciple, all right? What was really awkward was when he was actually there in the same circle as me, because, you know, everybody was like, wow, there's two of us here. But yeah, after 2 years of doing that, I got really tired and felt like I was just trapped inside myself, and I wanted to go back to becoming myself again, because I felt it was inauthentic to be somebody else. And here's what happened, really. You know, as you try to imitate somebody, it's one thing to you can imitate them on the outside, but you never can really capture what's going on in the inside of a person's mind, right? This is why it's so interesting that Paul says, "Let this mind be in you." So it's not just about external behavior. And it requires the Spirit of God in us. But yes, I found that as we practice being other people sometimes, we can eventually lose our own personality and our character. And it's dangerous, and it creates a lot of pain. And so, you know, when I read Imitate Christ, I wonder, will the same thing happen? Will people lose their identity? Will people lose their personality? Will people lose who they really are? Will they stop being authentic if they start practicing and imitating Christ? And here's what I, over the years, have found, and I'd be interested to find out if this is your experience as well, that the more I feel that I become like Jesus, the more I really feel that I'm becoming my unique self. It's really strange. You know, Jesus said, "He who loses his life for my sake shall find it." It's as if the more Christ-like we become, the more we become the people that God made us out to be initially. We were created to be kind. We were created to be loving and holy and truthful and gentle. We were created to be Christ-like. He is the perfect image of God. And as we become more like him, the more we become in the image of God, who we were truly meant to be. And I would also say that to be Christ-like means freedom to be our true selves. And yet, I also find that the further away I am from imitating Christ and having the mind of Christ, the less genuine I tend to be, the less freedom I tend to have in my life. The less our personality and character is driven by forces outside our character, the more we become like Jesus. It fulfills us. It does not violate us. So I thought that was incredible, that the more we become like Jesus, it does not destroy our uniqueness. It enhances our uniqueness. Our temperaments don't change. Our qualities don't change. But we become more of what God created us to be. I find that to be really amazing, that if you imitate others, you lose yourself. But if you truly imitate Christ and have the mind of Christ, you become your true self. All right, let me bring this to a close. And I think it's important for us to ask these questions. Really, if we were really following Jesus' example and living the way Jesus did, would we go a year without sharing the gospel? Would we go a year without praying for people? Would we neglect the word of God? Would we close our hearts to those who were truly in need? Would we be able to see people, you know, who are suffering around us and we do nothing? Would we harbor unforgiveness towards others? Would we fear man rather than God? I really believe that if we made it a point to imitate Christ the way we find it in Scripture, not in any legalistic sense, that if we made it a point together, every believer, to imitate the life of Jesus, I think it would be revolutionary. The impact it would have on the church, the impact it would have on our relationships, the impact that it would have on the world, things would change. Jesus turned the world upside down, and he's calling us, let this mind be in you. It would be a powerful force unleashed into our world if we let his mind be in us, and if we approach the problems in our lives with the attitude of Christ Jesus. What do you have to do? Read the life of Jesus. Get a sense of how he thought, what he did, how he lived, what his attitudes were, what his motivations were. Get to know Jesus as much as you can. It is a priority and must become primary before we even begin to talk about imitating Jesus. Get to know him first. I'm really glad that this morning we are going to have communion together, because I want to get back to the very foundation of our faith, Jesus died for us. He gave himself for us. He took our place on the cross. And so, again, the emphasis is not, salvation is not what we do for God, but what God has done for us. So if you're a disciple of Jesus this morning, and you have said yes to following Jesus, then come up and celebrate the Lord's Supper, because what he's saying to us is, I did this for you. If not, then just, you know, stay where you are. No judgment here, no condemnation, but just, you know, open yourself up to the Lord and just pray, God, reveal thyself to me that I may know who you are. Start there.